You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Are you guys ready for funniest thing from the sports weekend and Stugatz's weekend observations? We've got to get to these. I don't think that I'm allowed to skate unscathed through the mockery of Stugatz and Chris Whittingham as the guy who decided to report an Aaron Rodgers stat from Barry McConaughey. Like, that is not something that I get to escape after. Are there any number of places I could have gotten that stat? That's where I chose to get it. So I am not somebody who's allowed. Again, it's just matters of degrees. Just surround yourself with people who are going to make. It's great life advice for all of you out there.
If you can achieve it.
Yes. Just surround yourself. Not surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, which is the customary advice. Surround yourself with people who are going to make worse mistakes than you so that you can appear to be slightly smarter.
But it feels great when you've made the last big mistake and then someone else lets you off the hook with their big mistake, right? Like, it feels fantastic. There is nothing better. It's an underrated feeling, man.
Okay, so let's go back to that. We were also able to wrestle this away from ESPN somehow. We were able to wrestle away the Barry McConaughey sound. He led a game-tying drive and never got the ball back again. This is from Barry McConaughey. Never got the ball again.
No, that can't be his name. I dumped it.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you just fell for something.
Good call, Mike.
That is one of my favorite show sounds of all time.
It's so good.
It tells a story.
So good.
Roy's the light.
Roy, you tell me whether Roy is laughing or being pushed off of a very high pool deck.
I'll push it.
He led a game-tying drive and never got the ball back. Again, this is from Barry McConaughey. Never got the ball again.
No, that can't be his name. I dumped it.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you just fell for something.
Good call, Mike.
It was a belly flop into the pool.
I think I found my new weekend observation transition sound.
It sounds like Roy was just peering, the very highest of the diving boards that Roy was just peering, and then somebody pushed him out.
It sounds like Roy had the hiccups and someone jumped at him from behind to scare him.
Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan. Last year, it was canceled due to a global pandemic. This year, it probably should have been canceled due to the same global pandemic that everyone seems to think is over. But, Dan, it is very much alive. But I digress. With a brilliant final round 66 by Colin Morikawa at Royal St. George's Golf Course. Dan, make no mistake about it. The Open Championship is back. Speaking of back, Lewis Hamilton and that godforsaken Deer District. Brady did all that last year with a torn MCL. Jesus. And by Jesus, I mean Guerrero. Was anyone other than me getting concerned the NBA Finals were never going to start? They've started. Jacob DeGrom. I'm no doctor. You scared me. I'm no doctor. But a weekly visit to the MRI machine is probably not a good thing.
I'm going to get some golf ASMR.
Go. You're okay.
Go.
You're all right. Oh, fuck me.
The C in Chris Paul stands for crank up the excuse machine. Stiff neck.
Oh, fuck me.
Exactly. Top five underrated pains. You agree? I mean, the stiff neck is terrible. You sleep the wrong way. You have to move your whole body just to turn your neck. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there.
I think of back pain as a pain that is just totally debilitating.
I have my top five underrated pains if you like.
All right, we'll do that afterward.
Well, I got to do it now.
All right. Ready, Mike? Can you switch over to the other soundboard? Top five underrated pains according to Stu Gatz. You got to do it now. Why the urgency?
It's part of my observation. Okay. I mean,
number five.
Tennis elbow. It's a doozy, Dan.
Number four.
Pulling a hammy.
Number three.
Jamming a finger.
Number two.
Stiff neck.
Number one.
A good stubbing of the toe. You agree?
It's a good list.
Thank you. Pre-boarding on airplanes. Huge problem. Dylan Fratelli. The rare golfer who, based on name alone, should be racing in the Indy 500. America's race. Dan, you know what the C in Chris Middleton stands for? Cantaloupes. And of course, the D in Drew Holiday stands for defense. Does anyone on the Bucks spell their name correctly? You got a Chris with a K, a Drew with a J. Get this. PJ Tucker's name is Anthony Leon Tucker. AL Tucker. A weekly tradition unlike any other.
So PJ Tucker is Al.
Yes. Al Tucker. Not his menacing Al. A weekly tradition. Unlike any other. Jacob DeGrom's injured arm. When Jacob DeGrom isn't pitching, he's getting MRIs. Dan, 2 years ago.
You put an R in a go.
2 years ago. There's a lot of sounds, a lot of things going on in my head.
But you're not responsible for any of them. I know.
The grandest stage of them all was moved to a performance center. Epic in-ring sagas were forced to turn to somatic storytelling. The lack of fans probably propelled cinematic. God, Mike, one of the biggest stars to turn to Hollywood. But with the return of the WWE universe.
Did you cover the word cinematic in semen? Semantic? Like, what did you just do?
I think that's semantics. Came those unmistakable home.
Horns.
Oh, leave me the hell alone. You wrote home.
He wrote those? I thought they were your weekend
observations. Well, that one.
Just
he corrected me. No, it's horns. He did. He got it.
You're dyslexic, yes.
I am.
Let's start that one over again.
Do we have to?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Damn, 2 years ago.
Yeah, there we go.
The grandest stage of them all was moved to a performance center. Epic in-ring sagas were forced to turn to cinematic storytelling. I was nervous there. The lack of fans probably propelled one of the biggest stars to turn to Hollywood. But with the return of the WWE universe, came those unmistakable horns. And then Austin Pop. Dan, make no mistake about it. John Cena is back. Nailed it.
Where?
Saw a Quiet Place over the weekend. You mean to tell me nobody's gonna fart? Please. There are a few things more tense than a Southwest Airlines seat stare down. Have you had one of those? Oh man, you're sitting there, you got the aisle seat, you got your bag next to you in the middle seat, pretending someone's gonna sit next to you. Really, all you're doing is telling everyone to get the hell away from you. Have you done that? It is tense. They're walking up to you, you're looking at them, they're looking at you. Woohoo! Had one of those yesterday.
You can't even sit in a seat without lying?
No. I mean, everyone does that on Southwest. You get on first. You're boarding in A, right? You sit in the aisle. You put a couple of things down in the other seats. So no one sits next to you. It's a Southwest staple. Anyway, no one farted. The Buccaneers are visiting the White House Tuesday. Tom Brady, brace yourself. It's not nearly as white as it used to be. Game 6. The rare win or lose and go home game for the Suns. Amin El-Hassan.
What's his name? Had a...
Metalark Media's basketball expert. After the Bucks were down 1-0, saying he had zero confidence the Bucks would win a single game in the NBA Finals. Amin.
Right now in the Hall of Fame, he's that in that Allen Iverson room, Bob.
That's unfortunate. And the Stugatz is strong in you. The A in Amin stands for a really bad prediction. Kevin Durant.
It was actually worse than that. It was after.
Was it?
Because it was after two games that he did that, and they haven't lost since.
Like all they've done is win.
All they've done since Amin said they didn't belong in the finals and didn't have any confidence that they would win. They are undefeated since then.
That's our expert.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Kevin Durant.
Hey, we need that thumb to go this direction.
When Giannis talked about how his team stayed together, grinded it out the old-fashioned way, just so you know, he was speaking directly to you. Now you know. If a genie popped out of a bottle and granted me just one wish, I'd wish for the Deer District to go away. The up and down on the 10th hole by Morikawa won him the Open Championship. Louis Oosthuizen, the definition of lovable loser. Louis, do it in the final round. Louis Oosthuizen, more like Louis Oopshuizen. Two athletes in the Olympic Village tested positive for COVID. Now we know why the emperor was concerned. Here's a simple life rule. If an emperor is concerned about an event, cancel the event. Yeah. He's an emperor, or she.
I am still reeling from how mad this genie would be at you.
What do you mean?
For wasting his time.
That's not a waste of a wish, man. I'm telling you.
You said it's the only
wish. The Delta variant lives there.
The only wish that you would make of a genie.
Is get rid of the Deer District. I had one wish.
It seems not wise to use your wish that way.
Why? I care about everyone, man. The people who are doing that don't care about anyone. I mean, except the Bucks. Dan, that is scary. We shouldn't be doing that. You agree? I'm being serious about it. I know we joke around weekend observations, but like everyone's acting like this thing is over. It's not over.
So the Deer District is somehow more dangerous than the closed arena full of people. That's your messaging.
Yeah.
If you had a wish for a genie, why wouldn't you just wish for COVID to go away?
That's a good point. Good point.
Or all disease while you're at it.
I think all disease lives in the Deer District. Get rid of the Deer District.
Maybe it's not a he, maybe it's a she. I don't want to be gender binary about this. Not the emperor. I'm talking about the genie.
That's a lady's name.
He or she is going back to all the other genies and is going to be like, Can you believe what this asshole wished for? At the meeting, at the weekly meeting.
What would you wish for?
Not the deer, not anything related to the Deer District.
How did that happen? You guys are older. I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched. It seems like it's the same show, but different fantastical type of character from the world of magic. But carbon copies.
Witch and Jeannie.
What happened first? Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie?
I think Bewitched.
I think it was Bewitched because it started in black and white.
Started in black and white.
Went into color.
Yeah. And who's the actress that played the genie in I Dream of Jeannie? She really tapped into
Barbara
some...
Eden?
Barbara Eden.
Old-ass Roy. Always
old
there.
Old-ass Roy.
It's just Roy. Thank you.
Did she wiggle her nose? Is that,
that
what...
Was Bewitched, no, right? That was Bewitched, right? That was my Bewitched. Favorite one. The genie did the arms Montgomery. Thing yeah. and then the head nod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the nose one better.
Dan, you felt it. A gaping hole.
What's it?
In the world of dance. Oh, body stops swaying. Oh, drop, stop dropping. Oh, the big Vegas residence dried up. The Molly got worse. But after a 5-year hiatus, a one-off, reuniting for millions of dollars, and then a couple of more years hiatus, disappointing side projects, and the desperate yearning from club culture, begging for the return of their conquerors. Dan, make no mistake about it. Axwell.
Ah!
Ingrosso.
Ah!
Angelio.
Angelo.
The Swedish House Mafia
ah!
is back.
Ah!
SHM.
Ah!
Mercedes Lewis said he thinks Aaron Rodgers will show up to training camp. I know. I couldn't believe it either. Mercedes Lewis is still playing? And he's a Packer. Here come the Jays. Noticed? You haven't noticed the Jays?
I'm still marveling at Mercedes Lewis still being in the league.
Are you? Roman Reigns, John Cena, SummerSlam. Collision Course. Ric Flair was the best wrestler of his generation, and he might not even be the best wrestler in his own family. Monty Williams said the Suns must do whatever it takes to win Game 6. Monty, that starts with you. Start Cameron Payne over Chris Paul. I dare you. Southwest Airlines, you and I have met for the final time. Good riddance. Chris Paul has become the Jameis Winston of the NBA. At this point, we all agree TB12 is just steroids. Right? It has to be.
I don't know.
What other explanation do you have?
A
torn MCL. He won a Super Bowl at the age of 44.
A genie. I'm going to go ahead and guess a genie.
It's like a steroid cocktail. 12 different steroids.
I don't believe you can make that accusation.
I'm guessing. Okay. Florida Select 2022. Undefeated. Number one team in the country. Proud of you. Hell of a run. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Dan Lebatard.
We just got to change the language up, because challenge just sounds contentious. Let's call it a politely disagree.
Ooh, how about this? An oopsie.
There you go.
All right, put it on the poll. At yes. Lebatard Show, should a challenge be called an oopsie to placate the referee's ego?
An oopsie flag.
Stugatz.
Or the red flag, the challenge flag, should not be called a challenge flag, or the flag should say on it, love you butt.
Red is also an aggressive color.
Very, very aggressive.
Maybe pink.
We should actually, have them throw daisies and call them whoopsie daisies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good idea.
Whoopsie daisies.
Yes. This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We'll get to the funniest thing from the sports weekend in a second. Jessica is very eager here to infect the show with some racing talk here. We will do that in a second as well. But there was a story here recently, Stugatz, in the New York Times and elsewhere, a feel-good story about a 70-year-old Batgirl living out a 60-year-old dream with the Yankees because at age 10, because she was a girl, she wasn't allowed or welcome on the field. And so 60 years later, she became a Batgirl, and it was heartwarming, and it passes for equality in baseball and progress. 60 years later, ladies, you too can evolve to the point where you can pick up after men when they throw their shit on the floor and have it be an uplifting moment where you belong. We will get again to the funniest thing from the sports weekend, but we used to have her on here, 30 seconds of soccer, or 1 minute of soccer, but now soccer has infected the show a little more now that Whittingham and Mike Ryan can annoy you with all their soccer takes, and it's not relegated to 30 seconds.
Such a bullshit frame job.
Or a minute.
Infected, bore. Like, it's just, guys, we're here talking about the NBA Finals, and in this country, more people watch the Euro Final than the NBA Finals. I understand our audience watch the NBA Finals more, but when you take in the total combined rating, what you're talking about is more niche when you're talking about the NBA Finals than just the Euros. And this constant bullshit framing that you do makes it such a tune-out for me that I'm constantly fighting an uphill battle, and it's certainly not my pompous tone.
I would say that I was speaking for the audience there. It doesn't bother me at all. I've welcomed it again and again. I'm the inventor of 30 seconds of soccer or a minute of soccer on this show. I want more and more of it. It is welcome here, but the audience does object to it. So here it is, 1 minute of racing talk. We need to grow the racing talk around here because vroom, vroom, Verstappen.
Yes, there you go, Dan.
Had a situation. So give us a minute of racing talk, Jessica.
First of all, I'm going to need more than a minute because the race yesterday was so dramatic. It was by far the most dramatic race of the season, probably in decades. In all of my days as an F1 fan, I have never seen anything like the first lap yesterday at Silverstone. So Lewis Hamilton qualified. They did a sprint race this weekend to qualify. So Lewis was in P2 and Verstappen was in P1, and they were going at it around the first lap, and they got to Cop's Corner, which is a turn, a right turn, and Lewis had the inside. He's trying to make a pass on Verstappen, and they were kind of neck and neck, depends who you ask. There's some animosity, it's some disagreement about which car was ahead. But anyways, Lewis had the inside, Verstappen had the outside. Lewis didn't take all of the space to his right, making this right-hand turn. Verstappen didn't give him any space on the trajectory he was going. So Lewis kind of clipped Verstappen a little bit. Verstappen had a huge spin out, hit the wall, had to go to the hospital to get checked up. or checked out. He is fine. Everything is great. But it was like a 2-hour stoppage, basically, because they had to clean up his car. His car was completely destroyed. And then there was this whole debate over whether Lewis or Verstappen was to blame for the crash.
Time! And,
didn't even get to the good part.
Well, you got, a minute. You're going to have to get better at that. That's how it works around here. How do you think that Mike and Chris Whittingham got to be such, and you were cafecitoing it. You were talking very fast there. Yep. But next time you will get more time. Perhaps tomorrow you will get another minute of time to because Verstappen really, he got pretty mad about the whole thing.
I feel so bad for you, Jessica. Now you understand why I got my rushed cocaine delivery.
Sounded more fun than soccer, though.
Look at how hurt she is. She is wounded. She is steaming. Time now for the funniest thing from the sports weekend.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend.
Chris Cody bobbing in the back room there. What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The Suns fan inexplicably counting $100 bills during Giannis' free throw attempts.
What was that?
Just making it. That's not making it rain.
That's not making it rain. Everyone made fun of him.
Maybe it had a lacrosse trip that he was coming back from or something.
Whittingham, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Brooks Koepka saying that he loves his driver.
That was mine too.
We need some golf rivalry. We need some golfers behaving badly. We need them being impolite.
I'm trying to put Morikawa in some sort of historical perspective today, and the guys were right. The far more fascinating story was DeChambeau.
What happened to
Roy? What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The translator for the San Jose Earthquakes manager received a red card and had to leave the pitch.
What happened?
So, there's kind of theories out there that Matias Almeida sends his translator to go yelling at the fourth official. And I guess the translator, when carrying out his instructions...
Time! Tony, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
From the world of golf, we had this picture for the YouTube audience emerge of somebody leering awkwardly at Jordan Spieth. and reminiscing of... This right here, I'm going to zoom in just so the YouTube audience can see. Like, he's going commando on some cargo shorts, and it's not a good look for him. No shirt.
What an amazing gut.
Yeah.
Nice work by that guy.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
Stop it.
Right there. That's good. That's good stuff.
Mike Ryan, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
For me, it's a Koepka. Okay. It's a Koepka-Bryson thing and how aware they are of it, but there's some real animosity there still.
Billy, what are you saying is the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The Mets. Just the Mets deciding to stop play baseball in the middle of a play.
It's mine too, man. Pirates just rounding the bases while the Mets are arguing a call.
What was the headline that you were just reading me a second ago?
Pirates rounding the bases while the Mets argue a call. It was like right out of a movie, man.
Jessica, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
LeBron's very loud patterned shirt, because the second season of I Think You Should Leave had a whole bit about these large patterned shirts, and then Lewis got a 10-second penalty, so he had to fight back from a basically like a 30-second deficit, and Charles Leclerc was in first place, and it took until like lap 51, he finally passed Leclerc, won his 8th Silverstone Grand Prix, tying with Michael Schumacher and Senna, and his own other record for most wins at a single circuit, and it was an electric race, Dan.
It's the British Grand Prix.
I think you should leave now is a funny show. It is.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
I thought you were going to say, I think you should leave now, Chris.
I should have said that. That happened with my brother's girlfriend. We were in a loud place right now, and I was trying to tell her about that show, and she got hurt because she thought I was telling her that I thought she should leave now. She really, she didn't understand what I was saying. It's a thing that actually happened. Stugatz, what is the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
I think I already gave you mine. That's a fine. The Pirates rounding the bases.
Okay, my bad.
That's okay.
Did we go through everyone? Oh, no, wait a minute. Someone else gave me that. You just repeated it because you didn't want to come up with your own.
Well, I mean, that's what Mike did. Okay, I mean, you yell at me, but hold on a second. Randy Scott doing a word combination on SportsCenter.
That was great. It was Cody style.
You don't. What was the word combination? Do you know?
Ristery. Risco mystery.
How about that, Dano? Thought you had me, huh?
I really did.
I had you.
Yes. You really pulled me into the cage there with your big...
You fool!
Yes. Yep. You got me, Stugatz. This is one of these stories where I thought that the internet was fooling me out of Nevada. A woman, it's not even funny as much as it is strange, and I just had a lot of follow-up questions, which is that a woman broke into a dentist's office and stole a bunch of money. And also, while she was there, she pulled 13 teeth from an unconscious patient. And I was just wondering to myself, like, why was someone left that unconscious? Well, yeah, because the extracting of teeth.
You wake up after like four.
But that can't be. That's not a short and quick job, is it? Like, I'm imagining that the pulling of teeth is something that is hard to do. And it just, like, she was in there for a while doing work, and it just made me wonder why, how. I had 1,000 follow-up questions, like, is this just a crazy person? Can we talk to the person who had the teeth extracted? Can the person who had the teeth extracted talk? Mike, you were saying that Alabama, what was that stat you were giving us during the break about Alabama being favored in games in football?
It's expected that Alabama is going to be favored in all 12 games this season. If that indeed holds true, they would have been favored for 92 consecutive college football games. Nick Saban's good.
Is the money going to change all that? Is the money going to change that particular dominance? Because Clemson has been working and trying to change that dominance, but the sport... It feels a little bit like we're in the 50s when Notre Dame could win all the games because it's one program. Every year, there's randomness and there's sample size that can distort things. But every year, you know that Alabama, Lane Kiffin told us. He said every time we came onto the field, we knew we had better players at every single position. We'd walk onto the field and we'd see our bodies against their bodies, and we just knew that we had better players at every position. Is the money going to get everybody else back into the game, the paying of players?
I don't think there's enough of an argument being made for parity in college football with the introduction of NIL, because I do think recruits may stay closer to home because they don't need to travel as far where the money was. I think the SEC reached its ceiling of dominance. They were cheating. I'll say it. Shocking. The SEC football programs were skirting the rules and getting away with it, and they were a lot better at doing that than some of the others. Not the only reason for their dominance. It's not.
None of that stuff sticks to Alabama. That stuff, no. You can think it all you want, but Alabama runs a program that does not have very much stain there.
They've had tremendous football teams, tremendous coaching. The SEC is dominant because they recruit well in great recruiting bases. There are other reasons than just the fact that they cheat, but they do. So now, if everyone is able to pay players through these alternate means, then you quickly reach a point where there are no more car dealerships in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They're going to have to get creative with the way that they pay players, and I'm sure they are. But now that you have other programs that, because of their history or location, couldn't necessarily do the things that the SEC programs would do so overtly, now I think you'll see more of it, and I actually think that NIL might introduce a bit more parity in college football.
It might, but I was reading the ancillary sports are going to benefit more because those athletes are at the height of their sport. When they get to college, like, it doesn't go past that. They don't become professional. And so some of the hesitancy with some of the college football players is, how long will they be there for? Will they be able to endorse this thing once they turn pro and go to the NFL because they have team endorsements? So it's going to be interesting to see if it evens out in college football, if it helps other teams. You know,
something needs to even it out. Because at this point, what Alabama has is a juggernaut that cannot be stopped by anything but that. Because they're
Well, it could be stopped by LSU and Ohio State.
No, but it can be when I'm talking about, I'm not talking about winning every championship. I'm talking about being favored in every damn game as if they should win every damn game for a decade.
But you still want to go to Alabama to play football if you can go to Alabama to play football.
Yeah, no, so they're still going to get top line recruits. They're still going to find a way to get money in the hands of players. But I just think that other teams now have an opportunity to get in the game for some of these talents where before it was just open and shut. I'd love to get Jessica's opinion on this. People have asked me, I'm going to the Miami-Alabama game, and Miami's probably going to get throttled by Alabama. It's a team that lost 15 players to the NFL, I believe. And everyone was telling me, why are you going to go see your team get throttled? What do you expect? What's a good result? I'm like, they beat Ohio State by 35 in the national championship game. Like, if we lose by 35, I'm going to be elated.
People are still going to go to Alabama because Alabama has Nick Saban. And as long as Nick Saban is still coaching, that's the premier destination for football. And there will be more parity in college football when the transcendent coaches like Nick Saban, being probably the only one, really, I guess Dabo you can make an argument for, when they retire. And Nick Saban, I think we've talked about on the show before, he's going to go down swinging. Or coaching, whatever you want to call it.
I understand the point that you're making, but Les Miles, Gene Chizik, they have all toppled Nick Saban at certain points.
Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, because the spending got out of control, and they were able to buy better players in those seasons.
How can we say that Alabama is paying players and just assume no one else is, and that this will somehow catch
everyone
up? Because
is.
I mean, who's
if
assuming
anything,
that,
this just legalizes what Alabama's allegedly doing, but they're not the only one. We can't just pretend Alabama's the only one paying people under the table.
There are caps. There are caps on what teams can do. They can only go so far. They can only pay so much money. And that makes
sense. The cap was zero before, and they still found ways around it. So what's that going
to
change?
And their boosters may find ways to get money in hands, and they'll still do under the table stuff, even though they have the avenue of NIL. All I'm just saying is before, if I were a hot prospect coming from, this is unfair to paint it with a broad brush, but say I'm a five-star recruit and I'm coming out of tough circumstances for my family, I potentially don't have to travel hundreds of miles to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, when I can still take care of my family and actually physically take care of them because I'm closer in proximity now that some of these things have loosened up. I think you'll see more of that.
But, Mike, you want to go to Alabama because Nick Saban gets you to the NFL.
Oh,
and once you get there, you're great.
You go to college to train for your next job, and Nick Saban's as good at doing that as anybody.
I could see it, like, there being a sprinkling of five-star recruits who might go to, like, their dream school where they didn't think they'd be able to make money because now they can make money on NIL. I could see that being something that would happen, but I don't think saying, like, the SEC's reached its ceiling is necessarily true. Like, Tuscaloosa, the entire economy runs on Alabama football. There's going to be ways for more players to make money, and there's still a ceiling that is not even close to being reached.
Wait a second,
I feel like we've seen that ceiling. You're saying more dominance?
I'm talking about there are now a whole lot of boosters and programs that have more money than Tuscaloosa that can get into this game in all sorts of creative ways, and you shouldn't underestimate what Mike is saying there. Many of these kids don't want to leave their local school to go and get the best professional route at Alabama with the coaching of Nick Saban. Many of those kids don't want to compete with seven other guys who are better than them at the same position, and they can just stay home, but they end up going to Tuscaloosa because Tuscaloosa has had a monopoly on what the pipeline to the NFL has been. I don't believe that there has been a greater threat to Alabama football than the money now pouring into the sport all over the place. And I say that, I'm not willing to just be out here accusing Alabama of cheating. It does strain reason to think that everyone else is cheating and Alabama is so good that they don't have to beat and they can beat all of the, they don't have to cheat and they can beat all of the cheaters without cheating. But I think money is the only thing that gets anyone else into the game.
If you've ever talked to someone whose life is recruiting, like the recruiting culture, like they know where all the bodies are buried. Their entire life is, why is this kid going here? And they know exactly how you take care of families and you have parachute payments that just find its way into advisors. It is a dicey game that certain schools just can't do it because a block is too hot, or can only do it to a certain extent because of their history or their conference. And now you have bases in, like, USC is going to benefit tremendously from this because they have a big alumni base with very legal enterprises that they can find ways to sponsor players. So
USC was Alabama before Alabama.
Yeah.
But their athletic department's also a dumpster fire, and their head coach has been on the hot seat for 6 years. Like, if you're a recruit, you can still make that money somewhere else with a coach that's more stable, like Ryan Day, or go to Georgia or go to Alabama. Like, I don't think it's necessarily going to just automatically create parity. I think there's still reasons why recruits choose schools other than they can make money in that town. And now you can make money in every town. So I don't know.
I'm with Jess kind of where if you're a five-star recruit and you live in LA, why go to USC when you get, I understand the value of staying at home, staying close to home, if that is indeed important to you. But USC or Alabama or USC or Ohio State, why would you choose USC?
No, I understand. They're all valid points, and I don't think this is going to happen overnight. But I think a lot of great coaches are going to be made from great boosters that found ways to get creative. We're going to build – there was this – The Athletic did a piece on it, and I only got to read a portion of it because I don't have a login, about how, like, can South Florida –
how much did you read? Three paragraphs?
I saw three paragraphs, and then it started fading into darker, and I was just like – but I had someone encapsulate
it. Did you try and read it when it became a little bit darker? Did you try and pull up the screen a
time.
Little bit and read around the block that was in the middle of your page?
Yeah, man, it seems like they have a really good product, but I'm not paying for it, guys, so we really – it's a resistible force and immovable object at this point. I'm not paying for something I used to get for free for
so long.
Didn't
they just raise their prices? They just raised them again, didn't they?
I would love to believe that now that Notre Dame can have their players make money off of the massive alumni base that they're all of a sudden going to be even better and win 10 national championships. But I don't think it's that easy. I don't think like you get this level playing field overnight because of this. I honestly think that Notre Dame's still going to get the recruits that they want and that they go after. There might be like one or two really good guys that they get now because of this specific reason, but I don't think it's going to be enough to completely shake things up and make it a completely level playing field or even more level playing field.
Let me backtrack for a moment.
A level paying field is what we're talking
that
about.
Is what
level
we're
paying
going.
Field is actually what is occurring right now.
That's what I'm going to name the book.
I still think there's going to be under-the-table booster paying, and I think schools might now have more of a stomach for it because they can get away with it a lot easier, too. So schools like Alabama and other SEC schools and Power 5 schools that have been winning the last 10 years are probably still going to pay their players for certain things. And a smaller school that wasn't in the game of you know, bag men, they can get their player a commercial sponsorship, but they're still not going to be able to keep up with the top schools.
I need to ask the tipping point on what's going to make you pay for The Athletic, what the story needs to be, what on any of this stuff. Is there a tipping point for any of you listening to this? Because we're all doing it. Ooh, that story looks interesting. Three paragraphs. That's pretty good. I want to keep reading. Oh, now you put this block in the middle of my phone. It can't move it. Wait a minute. This isn't. I've used up all my free articles for the month. Okay, bleep you and your information. I don't want to be smarter. Not if it costs me money, only for free. Is there a tipping point on this that something, a scandal of some sort? If I put the Donald Sterling story in front of you as it was breaking, is there, what is the scandal I can put in front of you that would get you guys to pay and not be blocked by the paywall and go away until the next time it happens?
I love that Mike knows that I have an Athletic subscription and I have multiple times saved to PDF articles for him. And yet for some reason, is there just like a shame where you don't want to ask me this multiple times in a day?
Yeah.
If you're asking multiple times in a day, then why don't you just pay for it?
Yeah. Do that. I'm not going to pay for it. Right, so
exactly. I, a good call, Mike.
You know, you're not the only person in town with admin credentials to The Athletic. I'll get the nut where I can find it.
So what you're saying is there is no tipping point. You will continue to ask Whittingham. Yeah, you will continue to bum passwords.
If you somehow make The Athletic part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then maybe I will pay a subscription for it.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Let's update some polls here. It's been a minute. I'd like to update some polls at Le Batard Show, but put it on the poll. Is there anything, is there any article that is making you pay to get over the paywall? Because I feel like everyone listening.
I got so many free trials going on right now, man.
I feel like everyone listening to me right now is doing the same thing. We have found the one place in America where we can all agree on something. That all of us, if you're not already, see, some of you whether you're trying to just support journalism or you just like reading newspapers and want to be informed, you will indeed get a subscription to the places that you like. But more of you are deeply stubborn, and you do not want to pay, no matter how many times you get an article from the Washington Post. Has a lot of amazing work.
So I'm told.
I have. The New York Times is still the one.
Oh, man.
If Kate you say
Fagan,
so.
Kate Fagan sent me this New York Times article that seemed fascinating. I think the guy mentioned our show, and I was just like, I didn't have the heart to tell her. Why? Also, that's presumptuous. You assume that I'm just subscribed to the New York Times? I got HBO Max, I got Prime, I got Paramount Plus. There's a lot of plates that I'm spinning here, and only certain entities are getting this $9.99.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, just put it up there, because I think the grand majority of people listening right now are nodding in agreement. Yes, this happens to me all the time. The block stops me, and I only read three paragraphs.
Just for all my friends that are listening to this, Chris, don't send me an Athletic article. Tell me what it says.
Yeah.
That's all I want from you. Nice. Don't do the flex of, hey, oh, you got to read this piece in the New York Times. No, you got to read it to me. Otherwise, I'm going to go.
Does Whittingham need to start copying and pasting the articles instead?
I've done that before. I've like sent like four screenshots of a New York Times article to Mike so he can read it. It just is so dismaying.
It's like charging someone to go to your funeral. You're dying, okay? I'm not going to pay to
Why
go watch and see
dying?
You die. Reading's dying. Oh, everybody knows
yeah,
it.
Yeah, put that on the poll. Is reading dying?
That's not true. Reading is not dying.
Oh, it's a fact.
It's dying, Dan.
No,
trust me.
No, newspapers might be dying. Reading is not dying.
That
is
dead for a long time.
No, it's dying. I'm reading right now. I'm reading Flea's book. You know how I'm reading it? Audiobook.
But which you're paying for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super convenient. Someone's reading it to me. Flea's reading it to me. So I don't have to go out and buy the book.
You know what's funny about that? I believe I'm willing to make an exception here and call an audiobook reading.
Oh, my really? Man, thank you. No.
Wow.
Thank you. Normalize. No, it's normalized.
Bullshit.
Normalize
to a podcast.
It's watching a movie reading.
Normalize.
No, it's just reading a book is reading.
No.
It's
yes.
Reading. I agree.
No, someone reading a book to you is reading.
Thank you. No, yes. No. You don't
reading
get to,
is back. Yes.
You don't get to be smarter.
I'm listening to Kate Fagan's book right now that she narrates that she wrote. I'm reading that book.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you
no,
are.
You're
She's
not.
Telling it
Don't
to me
apologize
in her own voice.
For
it's
it.
Actually better than if I were reading it myself and attributing a voice to her in my head.
Yes. It's a lot easier, too, because if I want to impress somebody, I'll say, like, I'm reading this book, and you've all been there on the receiving
the
end
difference.
Of it. Wow, this person's learned. Wow, what a thoughtful person this is, constantly seeking education. Why are they considered smarter than me, who likes to listen to Flea talk about his life in 1.5 times speed? Yeah. I'm reading that book.
No, people learn in different ways. I learn from hearing things. I don't learn as fast from reading something on a screen. It depends on the person. Like, when I was in school, I learned better when a teacher would tell me something and I'd write it down than when they'd like assign a piece of paper that I had to read. It'd take me longer to get through it and to understand it. People are different.
Reading Spark Notes is closer to reading a book than listening to someone else read you a book.
Tell that you is what. Not true. Billy.
Yeah, at least you're reading.
No.
Horrible take.
See, you're
Horrible
part of the problem. Take. You're perpetuating this bias that someone that somehow if I read the words on a paper makes me smarter than if I just listen to them. How about this? Our show is a book.
Yep.
It is not.
Yes.
Is.
We read a great show today.
Yep.
Yeah.
I read a book
what?
Today.
You read a book. Congratulations.
This is great.
I feel smarter already.
It's a light read, though, this show.
Never
right?
felt dumber.
I believe, put it on the poll, at Lebatard Show, Guillermo, does listening to an audiobook qualify as reading? Yes or no? I love this as a subject. I do, because it's not actually reading. But to me, reading, the way that I think of reading is downloading information.
Correct, Dan. Right. You know, I've read 20 books on this subject. I really have. I'm the world's one of the world's most foremost Manson experts.
You've listened to 20 books on this subject.
But I'm still just as smart as the person that read it. We got the same information. And just because they got to say they read it doesn't make them any smarter than me. It just makes them more patient.
No, it doesn't. Can't highlight an audiobook. Can't write in the margins. Can't go back and reference. You have to like find a pinpoint somewhere in chapter 3.
Don't make me side with them, Woody.
Seriously.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.